everyone. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 393. My name is George the Dork Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. This is the Android show that is actually about Android. And this is our email correspondence communications show. I am joined this week by Mr. Eric R. Ardini. How's everything going, sir?
Good, man. That's really good.
Oh, well, that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
Very cool, very cool. We're also joined this week by Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel. How's everything going, sir?
I am doing great. Hello, Android app. I forgot the name of the show that I was on. It's so
all about Android.
Mechanical for me to do my show. Hello, all about Android listeners. When I heard the episode that Steve was gone, I said, "Dork, can I please join you, please?" And he said, "Okay, just this once."
So, yeah, right.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, Mark's one of those guys. For some reason, and I'm sure he's gonna love to hear this. In my head, I always put him not maybe because he's 6'8", but I put him always at a little bit higher. And I keep thinking Mark doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't want to talk to me. He's busy doing other stuff. He's busy figuring out all the different ways to show his children the movie Frozen for 815 times.
Oh, that number's way too low, Dor.
I'm sorry, 8,000 or 80,500. But thankfully, he pinged me and asked me on the show. And I will say this, anybody who wants to be on the show, you're more than welcome to be on the show. But if you already do a podcast, I know A, I don't have to worry about your audio quality as much. And B, I don't have to worry about you understanding their schedules that are not under one person's control, but it's a cooperative effort. So it's much easier for them to come on the show. So I definitely want to thank you, Mark.
My pleasure.
Okay. Email show. Mr. Ardini has a couple in the clip in the magazine, if you will, ready to go.
We do. I got one thing I want to talk about first, though.
Oh,
some breaking news, Dor.
Oh, okay. I don't have any news.
And this bit of breaking news is only really important to Tim Bauermeister from the Geeksters. So
okay.
I don't even know if he has an Android phone, so he might need to listen. But anyway, Niantic Labs just broke off of Google now, and they are their own thing. No more Google parent company.
Well, this
and Ingress and Field Trip's on their own.
Well, this kind of makes sense because I heard before they did Field Trip, they basically threatened to leave, and Google said, "No. You can do it here under the Google name." And then earlier this week, we had that colossal, everyone keeps saying, breakup, where now Google is not a company, is not the company. It's now the daughter company to the parent company, and they're putting out all these little sub-companies. So this kind of makes sense with the splintering, if you will, of the Google people.
Are they doing this before the government makes them, right? So they become like AT&T or something, now that they got their fiber network, they got their cellular phone network going. And their advertising and search engine, and everything they're into.
I don't
data mining me.
I'm not high enough educated to comment on such a thing, but I do think it was more prescriptive than preventative. I think they wanted to do this. I think they thought it would better some of their efforts.
I think at this point, if Google has governmental issues, they could just buy that government. Yeah. So I really don't think that's an issue.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's not kidding. I live right by D.C., I see job postings for the Google DC office all the time, and almost none of the skills needed are computer technical skills. Okay, they're like office managerial skills, lobbyist type jobs. So yes,
I mean Larry Page could buy Donald Trump. I mean that's how much money Google has just laying around.
Donald would never admit to that. He doesn't need money.
That's right.
You're fired.
Okay.
Niantic Labs, you're fired. Go Ingress. Go play some games. Okay, emails. Our first email is from Peter. G'day, fellas. I can't recall you. Should I do this in a British accent? Because the fourth word is blokes.
Well, yeah, this is Peter Cross and Peter 64.
Yeah, did we already read this?
No, probably not, but go ahead and read.
Okay. I can't recall you blokes ever talking about any ballistic software before. I came across Strelok when perusing the Play Store. There are three versions. The free one doesn't allow you to save more than one rifle and cartridge load and is not updated anymore. The plus version, from what I recall, was less than $10 Australian. Is it Australian dollars? It's a dollar sign. 10 currencies Australian allows you to save at least 10 rifles. Is it pounds? I don't know. Each with a load data for 10 cartridges. has 180 reticles and is well worth the few bucks it costs if you enjoy shooting. The pro version, still less than $20 Australian, is more for the serious long-range shooter. It has a huge bullet database, calculates powder pressure variations due to ambient temperature, air density, due to elevation, etc., etc., etc. Read the details on the page. And he gives the link to it here, and I will put that in the chat. Yeah, I didn't realize that there would be such a... you probably already did put that in the chat, didn't you?
Sir.
I didn't realize that they would have such a way to fine-tune your gun by using an app. And that's pretty fancy. I'm not into guns. Oh, I'm sorry. He says, love your show. You fellas make mowing almost fun. Keep up the good work. Peter 64. Mm-hmm. P.S. Door, don't let those other two fellas get away with any smack talk about GNU Linux. I'd never talk bad about GNU Linux in front of Door.
No, but you've helped pile on with Sean and Steve C. at times, and that's okay. I'm a man. I can take it.
It's only when you drop out after chastising us for using Windows.
Well, come on. It's part of my contract. I have to. and I will say Peter 64, Colonel Panic, Ogcast. If you like hearing, again, like Podnuts, quote unquote, real people sitting around chatting, having a good time, talking about all kinds of technology, their podcast, Ogcast, however they want to call it, takes just about as many tangents as any good podcast I think I've heard. And I think Mark knows a little something about tangents, don't you?
I can neither confirm nor deny that I have been known to take tangents from time to time. Well, see, a tangent has to be connected in some way. So you can't really call what I do a tangent. It's more of a separate, you know, Venn diagram way over here somewhere.
Exactly. Well, see, that's why I thought you would be good for this show, because just going off and then firmly believing where you're at is the right place to be.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Exactly. Now, that's
conviction.
Right. Now, just real quick, Eric, how do you pronounce this application again from Peter?
A second. Let me go back to that.
Because I don't know how to pronounce it. Strelok?
Yeah, that's what I would say. Strelok Pro. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if the word actually has a history in gun or ammo or aiming history, for all I know. It's Strelok Pro. And I do have a couple friends at work that are really passionate about their gun activities, I'll say. So I will bring this to them. They did complain that there was something missing about gun calibration, aiming something that wasn't really available on Android that they knew of. So this might fill that need for them. I'll definitely let them know. And I definitely thank you, Peter, for letting us know about it.
Nice. Yeah. It's by Igor V. Borisov Sports.
E for everyone, $12.40.
I grew up in, you know, East Texas, good old fashioned white trash family, and guns were everywhere, right? My mom had a shotgun in the closet in her bedroom because she was a single mom, and that's what you did. And so I know a lot about guns, but I didn't recognize any of the words on this app. I don't know what this is. This is rocket science. This is not shooting stuff.
Right. Yeah, this is taking sport and yeah, it's science. This guy, one of the reviewers said he had an 860-yard first round hit after dialing it in, you know, using this app.
So it looks like a digital spotter for a sniper. Like if you don't have a spotter with you, you can use your phone to serve that purpose. That's kind of what it looks like to me.
Or like a caddy, like a golf caddy of guns. You know, it tells you which bullet to use.
You want the 5-iron.
Throws a little grass in the air for you.
Exactly what I was thinking, Mark. Okay, that's Strelok Pro Igor. I love Igor made it. Thank you very much, Peter. Okay, do you have any more emails there, Eric?
The next email? Yes, I do. We've got an app suggestion. Not sure if you've... This is from Ben Peer. Not sure if you guys have looked at this one yet or not, but Twittier is a pretty nice and simple Twitter client that's free and looks better, in my opinion, than Phoenix. Says another one is Cord, basically a new Voxer app-like app. I think we brought Cord before. Also allows you to send voice messages and to other users. Not something I actually use, but I could see being useful to some people. I also have a question that may apply to other listeners. I'm not sure if you guys will have an answer or not. I just bought an LG G3 to replace my Nexus 5. I love the phone after I rooted and installed CyanogenMod, and I couldn't stand LG's skin. But my only complaint is it feels like the camera has lost some of its image quality since the changeover from LG's ROM. Is there an app that can bring back the quality that the camera had when it was stock? I'm currently using the Google Camera app. However, it doesn't have 4K video recording or high FPS slow motion recording like before. Is there an app or a way to get that back? Thanks. Hear you soon. Have a good week, guys. And that's from Ben Peer. Okay. I told him I'm not sure how to bring that functionality back to the camera other than another app.
Right. Well, first, the app Twittier, I'm guessing it's pronounced T-W-I-D-E-R-E or Twitter, colorful bird origami logo, I'll say. I'm not going to say it's better looking than Phoenix. It looks card-based, so if you're really used to the Google Plus type interface, I do think this interface would be really easy to get along with, kind of thing. We did use Cord, C-O-R-D, me and Sean Johnsoni and Eric and Steve, like maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
One of its biggest failings was the time limit on messages was like only 1 minute, I believe. It wasn't very long, and I've received literally 15-minute Voxers from people. Also, I think the group chat in Cord was slightly clunky. So if it's a very small number of people with very short messages, I do think Cord is applicable, I will say.
Maybe it could be the Twitter of Voxer.
Sure.
If you short messages, less people.
Yeah, and the camera thing, I'm not sure. Do either of you guys have any ideas?
I mean, it must be some functionality in their ROM.
Well,
and the app that they baked into it.
Well, I'll put it like this. If a computer is being sold with Windows on it, gets 10 hours of battery life, then you install Linux on that laptop and it only gets 6, the real way to get 10 hours of battery life on the device is to put Windows back on it. You know what I mean? Because it's meant for that kind of thing. And that's what I'm trying to get with this. To put a ROM on a phone to expect the exact same performance is almost a little unfair, I will say. If you really want the camera to work like it used to, you have two choices. Put the stock ROM back on, or try to rip the old APK off that old ROM and put it on your new phone.
Lester too. Yeah.
The other thing is I'm never sure how to pronounce her name. I just remembered TNKGRL. That's
Tank Girl.
She's on Twitter. She's been on Android, all about Android, and she's been on many, many things. She used to work for Pebble. She maybe is the most highly, I'll say, experienced person when it comes to mobile phones, cameras, and camera applications. I guarantee you, if you follow her at all, you will hear camera apps mentioned semi-frequently, and she will tell you very quickly whether or not they're worth the time to even play with them. She is ultra picky, I'll say, about cameras. Which is why she really likes the LG G4 right now. I believe that's her best phone. If you just go to tnkgrl.com, that's her basically blog. Scroll down that blog, and I guarantee you will see mentions of camera apps. You can download audio versions or video versions, and you can take her word for it. I don't feel comfortable saying you should try this camera app or that camera app when there's someone out there so much more knowledgeable than myself.
Captain Zero in the chat says he could try camera FV-5. Doesn't know about the max resolution, but it seems to be one looks.
If you're wanting to shoot 4K video, that's pretty specialized.
And I'm sure it will suck down a lot of resources. Okay, I will make sure all three of these are in the notes. Camera FV-5, Twittier. Yeah.
Twittier?
Huh. Sure. And Cord. I'll make sure all three of them are in the notes. I want to thank you guys for bringing these apps here.
All right. We got another email from Todd Evans. Hey, guys, just listened to episode 389 and heard the news. He will be greatly missed. I don't know what he's referring to there.
Maybe Steve leaving?
I enjoyed his... Huh?
Maybe Steve leaving?
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot already. I enjoyed his humor and his infectious laugh. Hope he drops by every now and then to co-host or just say hi. I'm on my lunch break and came across some insanity called Hopeless Space Shooting. I installed it, but have only a few minutes to tinker with it. The video gives a good portrayal of the gameplay. Frenetic would be a good word. a twisted mind was involved in character creation. Free to download with in-app purchases. Hope it hits the sweet spot for someone. Keep up the great show, Even Sans Steve. I know you will continue to produce great content. Looking forward to hearing thoughts on how the future of the show may progress. Sorry for the long drought of correspondence. I retired and started working at a new place. Wait, what? And that's from Todd Evans. Thank you, Todd. I played this game. I was going to bring it last week, actually. It is kind of crazy. Did you guys check it? Did you check it out at all, Dor?
Actually, no. I was definitely behind in my emails, so I did not even get a chance to open this one up yet.
It's rated T for teen.
Okay, okay. This is a next revision. Like, there was, you know, Angry Birds and then Star Wars Angry Birds and everything off of that Angry Birds, and it's kept changing it. This is the second of an application. The first one was they were ghosts, and you were in the middle, and there was light, and when the ghost would come in, you would have to basically shoot them back. So now it's you're shooting space zombie ghost things.
Basically they come in from any direction. Sometimes the things come in, you know, sometimes they're monsters, sometimes they're your buddies. Right. And you just got to make sure you don't kill your buddies when they come in. But it comes one or two at a time, and then all of a sudden there'll be a huge wave of them. They'll come in. It'll take us, you know, if you've got some buddies stacked up there with you after you let them come to you and they kind of hang out with you. But then when you have some buddies, these monsters who do get through and you don't tap on them to blow them up, they'll take one of your buddies or two of your buddies so you can keep going. It's kind of weird when you do shoot them. They split exactly in half, and you can see, like, their brain and stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Come out, yeah. That's just it gets challenging. Some of them waves are pretty pretty full of bad guys all of a sudden. It's pretty fun.
Right, yeah. I don't remember now. This is not in the notes anywhere, in the apps listing anywhere. Hopeless, the Dark Cave looks like the first one of these, with over 200,000 reviews in the market. That's a lot. And this one is definitely newer. There's only 20,000 reviews in the market. 4.1 average rating, 12,000 five-star reviews, T for teen, completely free in-app purchases. So this is definitely popular.
Yeah, they've also got Hopeless Football Cup too, which looks like some sort of a soccer version.
You mean football?
A football.
Football.
With the round, white, and black. Exactly.
Mark got it.
Football.
Football. Very cool.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. That was cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely put this on the sole remaining child tablet in the house and see what they think of it. Thank you, Todd.
We got, I think this might be our last one. Chris Setla, Captain Zero, I believe.
Yes.
First off, bye, Steve. I'll miss you, and so will everyone else. You are the third wheel that made the show great. Dor. This is a direct response to your clipboard issue.
Mm.
I use Clipper Plus version 2.4.6 and Clipper Sync plugin 1.0.4. Did you already put these in the show notes?
No, sir.
All right, I will copy and put them in there. Copy. I haven't used either of these clipping apps yet. I think he just sent this to us the day before yesterday.
Okay.
And then he also mentions to get easy access from any screen, I use SwipePad version 0.9.19. Okay. I can sync my clipboard to other Android devices, and I can create permanent lists of clippings that I need all the time. Things like long email addresses and other things I don't want to type over and over. This combo works 99% of the time. Regards, Captain. Must remember to make door scroll 0.
Okay, the first thing I got to say with the clipboard thing is, I get a very Gibsonian response is the way I'm going to put it. I'm using TouchPal keyboard, and I'm using the built-in clipboard manager in that keyboard because part of me feels like I'm already in the keyboard. The keyboard already sees what I'm typing. It's okay for the keyboard to have access to my clipboard. There is sometimes sensitive things in the clipboard. There's sometimes where LastPass will not fill an application correctly. And I got to go into LastPass, copy the username and or password out to the app, and then paste it in. So after I started looking at clipboard applications, I got very paranoid about what I'm putting on my device that has access to my clipboard. because of that, I do not know if I'm going to install these. Here's the way I look at it. Okay. The developer for both of these clipboard applications, I can't pronounce. One is Clipper Plus with Sync. The other one is Clipper Sync Plugin. 3,000 reviews on the one app, 1,100 reviews on the other app. Total download numbers between 10 and 50,000 on the first, 10 and 50,000 on the second. The first one has not been updated. Well, it was updated July 5th, 2015. The other one has not been updated since November 26, 2014. I'm a little hesitant to install these. They're both out of Finland, it looks like. I'm a touch hesitant to install these and give these applications access to my sensitive information. Call me, you know, paranoid or stupid, but...
Yeah, you are paranoid, man. We got to hide door.
My passwords.
I kinda, you never know what it went to. And then random, anyway.
And this shortcut application, this, I call it side launcher application, swipe pad. The video in the App Store is all of, like, 4 seconds long. That's pretty concise. You know, there's really no confusing this, what this does. This was brought by Jeff Hallish, as one would say, episode 244 on the show. That's why it looked familiar. I like the idea of it, but what I do not like is the fact that it's only a limited number of apps, and to get to all apps requires extra clicks. I'm still using the literally from Eclair, maybe, application called Smart Taskbar, where within one click I have all my apps right there available to me. But I do remember trying this in the past.
I've never had an issue with my clipboard.
Yeah, can I make a comment on the whole clipboard thing here?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I understand wanting to be secure. I get that, but context is probably the single most important thing in terms of security. So if you're putting a password on your clipboard, that clipboard does not know what it's a password to. It doesn't know that it's a password. It is just data. So in order for the clipboard to do something nefarious with the information you put there, it's got to have the context. It's got to understand the password that goes with, or the user account that goes with that password, and the website that goes with the username that goes with that password. Of all the things to worry about, I would be much more worried about, for example, the keyboard, which literally tracks every key you ever type, than I would a clipboard. I think you got your tinfoil hat on just a little too tight on that one, Dor.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie, Mark. That's a good point. Password unto itself is pointless, useless, unless, of course, I'm following a methodology with my passwords, which I'm not now, thanks to LastPass. Everyone looks completely ridiculous, in fact. So I will say you have a valid point, a very valid point. I'm not going to throw in the paranoid towel just yet, but it's definitely over my shoulder.
He's walking around with it around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think even Steve Gibson, whom I, you know, idolize a little bit myself, would say at some point you have to make a decision to trust somebody, right? You've trusted Google or Android, at least when installed that thing. You've trusted your keyboard launcher. That you can't get through, as much as he likes to talk about trust no one, you can't get through life trusting no one. Or if you do, you're locked up in your own basement. So, you know, just... being safe is important. Being overly safe is just as harmful as being unsafe, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's a detriment. And I will say part of the reason I was looking at clipboard things was I was looking for an excuse to not use TouchPal. But I will tell you, everyone out there, the reason I'm hooked on TouchPal, I've been hooked on TouchPal for well over a year, is I can hold down the space bar and it starts voice dictation. That doesn't seem to stop if I pause for a second or stutter for a second. It doesn't stop. It waits for me to put more input in. So it's very quick when I'm driving or whatever, to just hold down the spacebar button, up pops voice dictation, and away it goes. The other thing, to be honest, is another stupid feature that I just cannot get away from, which is sliding backspace. Tapping and sliding to the left on backspace deletes an entire word. And I rarely have to hold down the backspace key to get rid of stuff. I just swipe, 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 and I can get rid of large chunks at one whack. So I need to, A, start looking at more keyboards, but having a clipboard application allows me to look at other keyboards. So I'll install this on the tablet. I will compromise. I will put this on my tablet.
Put it on your kid's tablet. You don't care about his stuff.
Well, true.
Does that keyboard that you love have a number bar?
No, I don't want I don't want a number bar, because a number bar to me is too far. I'll rather just hit the number key and have a calculator style number pad where everything's really close.
I'm a swipe user. I got hooked on swipe back in their early beta, and I'm stuck there. I used my wife's OnePlus One just before coming down here, and I picked up her phone and started to type. And I'm I don't know how to use a keyboard anymore. I moved my thumb to the left, and it just looked at me. I don't know how to type on a real, quote unquote, real keyboard. There's nothing real about them. But that's the one for me. And you're gonna have to pry it out of my cold dead hand.
Yeah, I do agree. I first started using ShapeWriter, which was, I believe, the first swipe-based keyboard that was actually a leak. A company was designing it, trying to sell it, and they did end up selling it, I believe, to Samsung or somebody. But a leaked copy came out, and I put it on all my devices. That was literally back in the day of the Droid X days. And ever since then, I've been hooked on swipe, because it only, the longer the word, the more off you can be, and it still just works perfect. And my spelling is so horrid. I need all the helping hands I can get.
Yeah, it does sometimes with its predictive get a little crazy. There, for a long time, every time I tried to type AND, it gave me, I don't know how you feel about language on this show, but the word for female anatomy that begins with a T. And it's like, I never type that word. How in the world would you think that's the word I'm typing? But then every time it got it wrong, it just reinforced that behavior. Oh, that's the word you meant. Right. So finally I literally had to delete that word from my, from the dictionary to be able to swipe the word and.
You know, I was wondering, Mark, all those emails that you sent, we couldn't read them on the show. I didn't know what was going on there, man. Thanks. Dory, if you're going to be paranoid, I don't know. I'd be more paranoid about how every time my phone boots up, it says Google.
I'm not worried about Google. They have already have everything of mine. Why? They don't need anything more. They know
all
everything.
All your base are belong to us.
But I will say, my Google opinion rewards are way off. Like Eric said that it asked him about, have you ever been to this hotel where he was there 2 days before? Mine keeps asking me about exercise, about activities.
Yeah, well, that's a recent thing. Yeah, sports a lot recently, huh?
Yeah, well, again, no.
right. And today I really felt gypped, man. I had like an 8-question survey, got no money for it. Oh. Sometimes these surveys are just for the fun of it. No, this one was not fun. It was 8 questions long. So.
You got to take the good with the bad, Eric.
Did you fill out your CompTIA questionnaire?
Yet. No. I'm definitely behind on my emails.
I did that today. Got that done. I think that's it for emails. So now, Mark Cockrell. What is your rant of the day or your tangent you'd like to bring us to?
I don't have anything in particular. I had a joke planned, actually, and Dor kind of ruined it for me. Like 4 years ago when you guys first started this, or you'd been around a while, I emailed Steve C. and said, hey, I want to come on your show sometime, and I want to just act like a total noob and bring, like, Angry Birds. After everybody's on, or I say, have you guys seen this cool new app called Evernote? And I was going to do Angry Birds tonight, but then Steve mentioned Angry Birds and it just ruined it. But yeah, that was the tact I was going to take.
Was that your one app that you were going to bring?
That was my one app. I was going to say, it's this new game. Maybe you've heard of it. It's really cool. It's called Angry Birds. And the idea is that there's little birds that you throw at pig, but yeah.
And we just brought Angry Birds to the show, a month ago at the most.
Well,
that just came out.
Well, don't forget, Mark, you always would have had there's this thing I found on my phone. I don't know how long it's been there. It's called Maps. It's amazing.
Actually, I do have one app. You guys have probably talked about this one or one similar to it.
Angry Birds Star Wars?
Yes, Angry Birds Star Wars. You know, on my Nexus 5, some of the character special things didn't work. And I don't know why. It just never did. Like, I think it was Han Solo, you couldn't fire one of those guys on the Star Wars 2. It was that one. It just totally ruined the game. So, boo Nexus 5 on that one. But, no, this app is called Mac Changer. If you've ever needed to change the Mac address on your phone. And the reason, if you guys listen to my other show, the reason that this was important, I was traveling recently. I took my Roku with me, and I couldn't attach my Roku 1 to the hotel Wi-Fi because there was a sign-in page. So, I downloaded Mac Changer onto my rooted Android phone, changed the MAC address of my phone to the MAC address of my Roku, signed in, then changed the MAC address back, and voila, Roku on Hotel Wireless.
That is smart, man. It's very smart.
Well,
I've taken my devices to hotel Wi-Fis and just been disappointed and walked away. You know, I never thought about actually.
Well, you didn't have three kids in the other room chanting High School Musical 3. You know, when it's necessity is the mother of innovation, truly.
Okay. I'm not going to lie. When you mentioned that on the show, it never even crossed my mind that I might need this. Because, you know, in hotels, yes, they often want you to sign in. They want you to agree to a terms of service or enter some stupid code kind of thing. The one I found on the market, at least, is by Boris X1 MACCANGER with a globe as the icon.
Boris again. Man, two for Tuesday.
That one didn't work for me for some reason, but Mac Changer did.
What's the one you, which one? He's got Mac Changer in there. Is there another one
called? Yeah, I don't see another one called Mac Changer. I see Wireless Mac Address Changer.
I don't remember. Seriously.
What does your icon look like? Do you remember? Is it a globe?
Well, no, in mine, it's a little Wi-Fi icon.
Okay, yeah, that's
it's wireless. One word, Mac Changer.
Yeah.
But there was the Boris one. It was a different one. I saw that one, too. I tried it. I don't know why. This says something about my personality. I went for it because it had the uglier logo, and I assumed the uglier logo was a better engineer. So I went for that one first.
There's definitely some truth to that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is the typical, stereotypical thing where a app name in Google Play is different than how it's displayed on your phone. In the Google Play Store, it's called Wireless Mac Address Changer.
Yes, that's the one.
But when you load it on your phone in your app drawer, it's called something else.
That's so weird.
It's true. It only does work on your Wi-Fi because you can't change the Mac on your cell because then you wouldn't have cell service. Right.
Well, and I will say on the other one, it did mention changing the Mac address on Ethernet. If you have a HT Android device, some of them do have Ethernet, so that might be what you need for that. I want to throw out there really quick, Jide. Don't know if you guys have heard of Jide before. Jide is the people who tried to make the Ultra tablet, the Microsoft Surface clone competitor kind of thing. They went on Kickstarter, ridiculously popular. They also did another Kickstarter a couple weeks ago for the Jive Mini. I did buy this on Kickstarter. It's only $40 for the 2 gig version. It's a small micro desktop is the way I put it. Literally about the size of a mouse, maybe just a touch bigger than a mouse. Has built-in Ethernet, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 4.0, USB. I got the version with, I believe it was 16 gigs of internal storage and 2 gigs of RAM, and it was $40. They say it's going to ship in October.
Huh.
So, yeah, there is Android devices with Ethernet. They're not not big. They're not popular yet, but this might be. I don't know.
It comes with just the box, no other peripherals. You put it to whatever size monitor you want and whatever anything else.
Yeah, all it is the device, no keyboard, no mouse, no monitor, no network. Yeah, it's just the little device.
A capacitive touch power button, unlike any PC of its kind.
Why would that be a selling point?
That's different. I can say I've got probably 7 PCs in this room, and none of them have a capacitive touch
power button. I'm so sick of power buttons that click. Finally, a power button that's capacitive. Welcome to the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen. If you're tired of your power button clicking when you press it, this is the device for you.
You know what? And they were close with those resistive power buttons. I just didn't like how I could use anything to touch them, you know.
And it made a little dent after a while. Yeah, you get that little dent in your power button, and that's just not okay.
So you don't want to use the end of your pen to be able to turn on your computer at all.
So maybe, I don't know, like Bill Nye, they're trying to change the world one button at a time.
I dropped my device the other day and cracked the power button, though. It was so sad.
Not good.
Yeah, that's capacitive. Well, do you have ceramic buttons, Mark?
Well, it's the Gorilla Glass on the capacitive button.
Okay. I was thinking every other button could crack when you dropped it. I didn't realize.
A little too rye
for you. That one actually could.
I'll bring it in a little.
Yeah. But I will say this is the kind of device I honestly think could be a good grandparent device, and it could be a good child homework device. Here's the real reason, okay? It's the cheapest device you can for free get Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Word, and Microsoft PowerPoint for that can actually save in those default DocX formats or XLSX formats, which school, I know some schools insist on having that as their file format. So I want to get this, 15-inch monitor, doesn't have to be anything fancy, put it upstairs for the kids and see how they go with it, see if they can get infected. Like, I'm sure if I gave them a Windows computer, it'd be infected in a week or less.
Multi-touch reset button.
Yeah.
Triple tap to reset. Double tap to put to sleep.
Two fingers slide to, boot. Swap memory chips.
No, to do backups, to do a clone of the. But I figured for $40, come on, what's the harm?
You don't want to find out what happens if you just use the middle finger, though. That's bad.
Might boot into Windows 10.
3-megapixel camera right below the capacitive touch button to watch you not do that. Yeah, I think we're out of emails for this show.
Okay, well, if anyone wants to send us an email, do not forget aaa@podnuts.com. And if you want to send us a voicemail, it's 707-6-PODNUT. Send voicemails in. We will play them. Send emails in. We will talk about them. And don't forget, if you want to be anonymous, you don't want your name said, make sure it's like the first line of the email. That's just a good way to, to cover yourself.
Yeah,
absolutely. Eric, do you have any parting words for the listeners?
No, but I just read in the chat that there's a huge sale at Amazon. 40 free apps, including Goat Simulator.
Oh, well, you have me a Goat Simulator.
Yeah, I've never forked out the $5 for that one yet, so I'm running over to Amazon as soon as the show's over to get my 40 free apps. Well, at least one free app.
Yeah, they say $90 worth of apps on sale. I will say I have very mixed feelings about Amazon, especially when it comes to apps, because the problem with Amazon and the problem with Amazon apps is not Amazon. It's the fact that a lot of app developers put apps on there and then they're very slow, or they just do not update the application. So it can very quickly fall behind in versions. I don't know of any apps that are exclusive to Amazon. And doing a quick scroll through the listings, nothing's jumping out as a must have to get, especially stuff like AVG, Antivirus Pro.
Yeah.
But, if you are in the Amazon verse for Android, you've got to check it out. A lot of them look like they're just completely free. So that's good.
We like that. Free Ninja is good.
Fruit Ninja, fifth anniversary.
Fifth anniversary. Oh, time flies.
Yeah, Goat Simulator, completely free. Very cool.
That's super.
Okay, Mark, do you have any ending words of wisdom for us?
If you like Linux, but don't necessarily want to listen to a Linux podcast, my show is for you. Everyday Linux over at elementopi.com. It's the only Linux show on the internet that's not about Linux, but about life in the context of Linux.
And if you really call yourself a aficionado of, let's just say, fun to watch movies, you have to give that show a chance just to listen to the back and forth about everything from Sharknado and everything else in that genre of movie.
One of the best bad movie forums on the internet.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely thank you guys for coming out, and we will see everyone on Friday.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.